You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Teen Mom. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Teen Mom news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Teen Mom.
Hello, everyone. Well, because it was the finale last night, I figured, why don't I fly in so I can host in studio with Ed?
Yep. I think it's worth it.
It was worth it. It was a pretty juicy episode, so maybe the flight was worth it.
Yeah, and it was longer, too. Am I wrong? It was longer.
Right? It was an hour and a half, but while watching it, I'm like, is it really longer or is it just more commercials?
More commercials. It felt like that because when you watch it online, it's only like, it's exactly 1 hour still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's, I think they added about
15 minutes longer.
Yeah, I think they added about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Overall, the episode was, did you notice though? I think the theme of it was at the very end when the book closed, it was rain, and then it rained away the crayon drawing on the book.
I didn't see that part.
So it was like that was shutting the book on a sad chapter, I guess.
Yeah, well, there was some sad stuff that happened.
But I felt like the first girl we're going to talk about at the very end, it ended on a happy note.
And which girl is that?
Janelle.
Hey, okay. Guys, I feel like we never have Mari here in studio, and it would be nice to introduce each of you as hosts, maybe.
Okay, I got no problem.
You guys went right into it, but we didn't get to see who your pretty face is.
Well, that's because our listeners by now should probably know who we are since we're at the finale episode, but I'm Mari Fagel.
Yep, Ed Bowling.
This is Ed Bowling.
Yep.
We might have our wonderful co-host Isabel calling in as well.
Yep.
But Ed, I want to talk to you about Janelle.
Okay.
Okay. My main question here is, and I told you, I warned you about this before we started the show, I'm going to bring a little Real Housewives into this.
Right.
Only because it's so familiar. Ronnie, you were with me when I was hosting Real Housewives last night. Real Housewives, Kim Richards, the star, went to rehab after taping.
Right.
And then right out of rehab, she did a reunion special with Andy Cohen. And all yesterday I was talking about how inappropriate that was, how terrible for her recovery. Like someone who's been in and out of rehab three times, how bad it is for her recovery to then have to do this reality TV sit down. And then I sit and I watch this episode and I think, okay, do you really expect this rehab to work when you're filming it all for Teen Mom? And what kind of rehab is this that allows Teen Mom cameras in? This is not Dr. Drew's celebrity rehab. This is supposed to be Malibu Horizons, some reputable rehab. But how reputable can you be when you actually allow a patient to be filmed the entire month they're there? Like, I don't know. Already, I thought the rehab's not going to work just because they can't be that credible to allow this. That cannot be healthy
for
a recovery.
Well, tell me, because I plead ignorance here, tell me what is it about being the cameras being involved that actually makes it unhealthy or maybe not as successful? I mean, just because I don't know.
I mean, the Real Housewives one was different because that was like an interview right as she was fresh out of rehab.
Yes.
This isn't so much an interview.
Right.
So maybe I guess the cameras aren't that bad, but I still think like rehab, that's a place where you really have to like work out your issues and everything. Yet she knows that the cameras are on her, and these doctors who are in the sessions with her, the cameras are on them the whole time. I just don't think that is healthy.
Well, I can see it in the sense that like when they searched her bags when she first got in, and then they basically took away anything that would remind her of, you know, being a drug user or whatever, the paraphernalia she had in her purse. And
the blunt wrapper she had.
Right, the blunt wrapper. And so, you know, maybe in that sense, like, it didn't really allow her to totally leave everything behind, you know, because, okay, here are these cameras. And really, all of her major ups and downs have been on camera, You know, they've been, she's been in the news since she was 16 and pregnant. And so it's like, well, you got rid of the blunt wrapper, but you didn't get rid of one of the main sources of her stress, which is like this whole exposure thing, I'll bet. So, you know, I can definitely see how she needed to escape everything.
And it's not even so much that, but it's what rehab is comfortable with having MTV cameras film the patient.
I don't know. But they did it. And they were in there. You know what? I guess it looked maybe worse than it was, because maybe what we saw was just, you know, a few minutes of her time. Maybe the cameras weren't allowed in for the majority of the time. You know, I don't know.
But they were allowed in the beginning, yes. In the two-week period, and in the end.
Yeah. And in the first interviews that she had with them, yeah. When she met these people, which is, you know, it's pretty important stuff. So, yeah, I hear you on that.
Now, were you surprised by the possible bipolar diagnosis?
Well, actually, I wasn't surprised about that. What I was surprised about was the thing that we were all surprised about, that, okay, first of all, that she has a brother.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't know that. And then she said, well, my brother's got bipolar and schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, duh, then you should be aware that you might be crazy like that too. You know, not didn't mean the crazy offensive, but, you know, hello, that should have been like on your mind a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And the mom, when they had the conversation, the mom goes, yeah, I always thought that maybe you had something like that because of how you acted. Well, why didn't you tell her, you know, or have her checked out or something beforehand? So,
and
yeah, that was a shock.
You know, we talked about how she was bipolar in our news and gossip in the past, but it's so interesting to me because her life so closely parallels that of Amber from Teen Mom 1, because she was diagnosed as being bipolar as well, and they both have their fair share of legal troubles and everything. But honestly, to be smoking pot every single day for 6 years and to be bipolar.
Yeah.
I know we'll talk about this because you don't agree with this, when he gave her the medication for anxiety and for being bipolar, he said,
yeah,
don't smoke on this, don't drink on this, because if you do, it's going to worsen your effects of being bipolar.
Well, yeah, he said it'll make the medication will be less effective.
Yeah.
If you use drugs too, which... Yeah, you know, I kind of felt like he was saying that just as a scare tactic, but, you know, it might work.
But what do you think of the fact that they took away pot but then put her on an anti-anxiety medication?
Yeah, they seemed, it was a little bit hypocritical, I think, right? Because their issue was, she said, you have been self-medicating yourself when you have stressful, and you haven't been using healthy coping strategies, right? So... You know, I get it. Now they're going to try to help her, teach her healthy coping strategies. But at the same time, they're going to give her something to take the edge off.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, they said by self-medicating, you're numbing your feelings.
Yes.
And to me, an anti-anxiety, is that not also maybe not numbing, but.
Well, I think that, I mean, we don't know what medication she got. But when I watched her talking after they gave her the meds, you know, she seemed kind of mellow. You know, and so I think it's probably something that just takes the edge off or relaxes you a little bit, so you're not stressed out. What I thought was really funny, which, I mean, we didn't talk about it, but she shows up and she's got like this colorful sweater on.
Yeah.
And, you know, she shows up and it's nighttime, and they bring her in, they search and all stuff. She goes to bed with all of her clothes on. Okay, and when she wakes up, she's there, because the next day I see her, she's got that sweater on. And she wore that sweater like the next day. And I noticed, and I mean, I know there's cameras, so she's not going to like get naked in front of her camera and be in underwear, but she constantly was waking up out of bed with all of her clothes on. So do we know, is that what they do? Do they, you know, they say, hey, we're going to come in and we're going to film the wake-up scene, so get dressed and get into bed. I mean, is that...
The only time I thought about that was when Chelsea, and we'll talk about this, took her GED test, and they were like 2 hours later, and then they shot her coming out. And I'm like, did they stand at the door for 2 hours, or did she call and say, hey, I'm done with my test, I'm about to walk out, you should come?
Yeah, I think that's when the camera guys went on lunch or something.
Yeah. But and we talked about this, I want to know what our listeners think, too. I don't know if you picked up on this. Janelle said, I have been smoking every day for 6 years.
Yes.
Well, 6 years, that would include the 9 months she was pregnant with Jace.
Right.
I hate to say it, was she really smoking pot every day that when she was pregnant with him?
Well, I mean, I guess we don't know, but we think that's highly possible. She said she smoked every day. You know, it's different than cigarettes. You know, it is. It doesn't have the same harmful effect on your lungs. Maybe it doesn't have the same harmful effect on a fetus. I don't know. I haven't actually looked that up. But she said when she was first being interviewed by the doctor at the treatment facility, she said, "You know, I don't have a problem smoking pot. I don't have any problem with it. It's because I'm not allowed to is the problem," is what she said. And so I thought, well, yeah, I mean, you know,
no, but that's a true sign of an addict, is someone who can't admit their problem. She's like, my problem is that I can't smoke, not that like I realize that I shouldn't be smoking every day.
Yeah, she just said I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah,
so.
But what also made me lose credibility in this Malibu Horizons is the fact that they even gave her her phone and computer back after 2 weeks. I understand she was isolated and depressed and bored. But guess what? The second they gave her phone back, she had a conversation with Kiefer. Now, the conversation with her mom was monitored.
Yeah.
The doctor was there while she was having the conversation with the mom, and that's healthy. That's normal. But she had this conversation with Kiefer. She turns on her phone. She has all these texts and voicemails saying he wants to get back together with her,
right.
And then she calls him and he says he's upset she doesn't want to get back together. He said, fine, then I'll just move on and find someone else. Like, that's terrible for
it
her
is
recovery.
Horrible. It is horrible. And the fact that, you know, it doesn't matter that her phone was off for the 2 weeks, because it's the same as if it was on and she was reading them, because all the messages were there, the voicemails were there. So she had to hear 2 weeks worth of, you know, all that. And then, yeah, he is the worst person for her to talk to, and he just totally is selfish with her on the phone. It's like, you know, tries to pull her right back into the same old dynamic, the horrible dynamic that they were in, the destructive cycle that they were in. And, you know, I think she felt the sting of it, but she didn't get pulled in all the way. You know, she just, even after she hung up the phone, she was like, fine, you know, move on.
Yeah, no, she was calm with it, but if she had, first of all, I think the phones and the computer should have been off the entire stay, and if she were to talk to Kiefer, it should have been monitored.
Oh, yeah.
Just like it was with the mom. But I want to ask you about the monitored conversation with the mom.
Yeah.
I thought that the doctor handled it very well, and the doctor was like, okay, clearly this idea of your mom having custody of Jace and your mom being there for Jace and Jace needing your mom and not you is a sensitive topic. So what did you think of Barbara saying in their conversation, well, but Jace is so attached to me. He's attached to me, and that's what set Janelle off. I'm glad that the doctor said something to Barbara, like, you need to be sensitive to this. You need to be careful. Because I've said this before, sometimes I think that her mom drives her crazy. And, like, yes, Janelle has done her fair share of bad things.
Yeah.
The mom has, too. And I have not been Barbara's biggest fan this season.
Yeah.
Because she knows what buttons to push. It's almost like, you know, little siblings who, like, you say it, you know it's going to hurt the person, but you say it anyways.
Yes, yes.
Like, she knows what buttons to push. She knows it's a sensitive topic, but she says it anyways. I mean, I don't know. What did you think of her saying, like, he's attached to me?
Well, it's exactly what you said. With the mom, with Barbara, there's always a dig. She always is a little dig, and then she'll cover it after by saying, but you know what, I miss you, and you know, my daughter, and I want you around, and all this stuff, but your life was on a road to destruction, you know, or I always knew there was something wrong with you by the way you acted.
Yeah.
You know, to say that stuff, it's a dig, and I think the mom she's got a lot of things going on. She also needs sort of rehab, in a sense, on how to communicate, I think, you know, in a more healthy fashion. But there's a combination of things. She is bitter, bitter, bitter. And she's going to do her job as a grandma and fill in where Janelle doesn't. And she's going to do it as long as she has to. But she's not going to do it without letting everybody know, I'm doing this and I didn't ask to do it. And, you know, and I didn't volunteer for this to happen. You got pregnant, but that's my grandson, and I'm going to take care of him. Because that's what I think she was going after because one of the things that triggered Janelle was when she said, well, since he's been born, I've been the sole caregiver.
Yeah.
Right? And Janelle gets red in the face, and she's like, stop right there. You know, you're making... And you know what? It's good that Janelle is at least calling out what it is that's triggering her. But even then, it's, you know, the communication was really, really unhealthy. I mean, the finger pointing back and forth and all that, it's kind of, you know, they need more coaching. They really do.
I think the reason why I don't like Barbara, I don't know if it's that she's bitter or that, and I know this has been controversial when I've said this in the past.
Yeah.
I don't, I, I think she likes that she is Jace's sole caretaker, and I think that she looks as Jace as her second chance at motherhood and okay. her chance at getting it right. I've said this before.
Yes.
I still feel that way. Like, I think that even if Janelle was a perfect mother,
yeah.
like, she would still... I swear, I feel like she looks at Jace as her second chance as being at getting it right.
I would say there's probably moments of that for her. But then I think there's an equal amount of moments where she's realizing, like, because it's got to be, it's harder for her this time. She's older and she's got the child this age. So it's got to be physically wearing down on her. And I think those are the times, and mentally too, those are times when she really, you know, breaks out into, you know, abusive, destructive, combative sort of actions and language and stuff. So I can see that a little bit, but, you know, and I've said before too that I think were it not for Jace and were it not for Janelle, you know, if they were healthy and on their own, then what would the mom's life consist of? You know, she's alone and she wouldn't really have. And if there's any truth to these sort of disorders that they've got being inherited, and if it came from the mom's side, then guess what? The part of her brain that is not stimulated in everyday life gets stimulated when you argue and when you fight and when you have conflict. The therapist said on the phone, she actually laughed out loud. She chuckled and she said, "Oh my God, you guys, that's the way you show love, through anger
yeah.
and through arguing." She goes, "We've got to fix that. We've got to change that because that's how you communicate right now." So the mom may need as much instruction and help as Janelle, you know, in some ways. Maybe not medication, but in other things, communication.
And I don't think a one-month rehab in Malibu is going to solve all your problems. This, like, that one conversation with the mom while the therapist is there isn't going to fix a relationship. They're going to need to continue to work on it in therapy. Like,
yep.
they need to be in therapy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she needs to have, like, a counselor, like, checking in on her consistently.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought it was laughable at the end when she's leaving and she says to the doctor, like, you know, "I have no cravings for pot anymore. No cravings at all. Like, in the beginning I did. Right now, none. No cravings." And it's like, are you kidding me? And we know in the finale special and prediction, you know, from what's going on now,
yeah.
that's
she
a lie.
She went back, yeah. Yeah, it's not, you know, my understanding is that it's not that type of drug. Like, they were acting like, well, because there was no THC in her urine in the drug test, then, okay, cool, now you're no longer dependent on the drug. No, that's not the drug that has, you know, people sticking with it because of major withdrawals. They're mentally addicted to that thing.
Yeah.
That's what happens with marijuana. You know, it's the other ones. It's heroin and stuff where you have this physical withdrawal that you have got to have that drug again. But, you know, you could get all the pot out of your system, and as soon as you go have a stressful day and you know what's going to really just fix it for you and take the edge off, you have to decide mentally not to do it. So I think, you know, it was a little premature, the celebration. You know, it's yeah. good that they're positive, but...
Yeah, I like that the show ended on a positive note with the mom picking her up from the airport, and she had the gifts for the mom and for Jace and everything, but to know what's going on right now and that she's, like, in even bigger shit than she was
yeah.
with her court drama and legal battles and facing jail, like... It's bittersweet to see them ending on a happy note here, you know, however many months ago this was shot.
Yeah, everything was the way I describe how Janelle and her mom were when they came back together. They were just like pensive to me. It was like they weren't relaxed. They just, you know, had other things on their mind and they were preoccupied. Like something else was, you know, about to bust or break, I felt like. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about Chelsea. I never like talking about her because she's boring and she has the exact same storylines every time. Adam and getting her GED. Exact same storylines every single time.
Oh, well, don't forget, you know, having to pay daddy and the money and job and stuff like that. But, yeah, I wrote in big letters, she's Adam sick again.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, again, situation where her mom is being positive and her dad's being positive. They're supporting her. And her mom is like, "You were doing so well and you were almost over him." And I'm thinking, no, she wasn't. She was never over him. She occupied herself a little bit. She stayed busy with life. But in her mind, she even says every time she thinks about him or thinks about seeing him or whatever, that "I love him." And, you know, it's just so too bad.
But I don't understand. understand why she gets her hopes up and gets so excited, because she even says to him, like, when they're driving, she says, what are we? Or what do you want?
How do you want us
to
be?
Yeah, how do you want us to be? And he said, we should be civil friends and not fight. And somehow she smiles and gets all lovey-dovey and gets all excited in their motorcycle ride. Did you miss something? He said civil friends. He didn't say, I want to be your boyfriend. I want you to be my girlfriend. I want to get back together. He said, I want to be civil friends. Like, where in your mind does that translate to, like, oh, yeah, he likes me again?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. See, it, and she even said it. She said, I love him. I just love him. And I know he treats me bad, and I know he has, but I still loved him. So it actually doesn't matter what words he says. All that matters is that he's there, and that, you know, and if he looks at her, because he was looking at her, he was in a civil, friendly mood, and he was smiling, and he was even, you know, flirting or being cute or whatever, the way she likes it, and she just would, you know, that's what she's waiting for. It's what she wants.
Is flirting and being cute? I wrote in my notes, what an asshole. Because his way of flirting and being cute is Aubrey's crying, and he'd say, what the hell did you do to her? Like,
right.
He drives me insane.
Yeah, no. That stuff I don't like. But the part, like, when he looks at her and he says, you know, he's there to pick up Aubrey, and he changes the plan and says, hey, you know, I'm just going to my house. Do you want to come with us?
No.
You know, that's – if he's not interested in her, then that's a boundary that should not be crossed. And he I personally think that he is he's the one that needs to set boundaries, because she's not going to do it. She hasn't yet. She's going to continue to let him walk in and walk out. And if he doesn't want to be with her,
he likes not setting boundaries, because that's how he has control over her.
Yep.
Is he always keeps her guessing.
And she allows it.
And, like, at the end, it's like, oh, why didn't you get on my motorcycle? And like, the finale ended with them, like, driving on the back of the motorcycle together, which, first of all, that was without helmets, which I know that pissed me off.
Right.
But the two of them, I'm so sick of the two of them. And if there is another season of Teen Mom 2, I mean, I know Chelsea's going to have to be on it again, but Chelsea, like, get a new storyline, get a new guy. I'm so sick of this storyline.
Yeah, well.
And seriously, Chelsea, if there is another season of Teen Mom 2, please finish all 5 parts of your GED. I'm very proud of you that you finished one part, but we've been talking about this all season long. You better be in beauty school by the time we watch you again, because I've heard you talk about it for too long.
Now, where's Isabel? Isabel, she told me that we know from the show that Chelsea's already taken all the tests, not in the news, but from the show. And I was fighting with Isabel saying, no, we didn't. She just took one section of it. So did she take all the sections and she's waiting for the results? Or does she still have to take the other sections?
At this point in the taping, she only took the writing one, and she just barely passed. I don't want to be, like, so mean to her, but...
Well, yeah, 450 or whatever, she got 560. What's the maximum? Do we know?
I don't know, but if it's anything like SATs, that can't be good.
Yeah, maybe not. If it's 1,000, yeah.
But, anything else we have to say about Chelsea?
Well, I would say that, I don't want to say I identified or I felt her pain, but, like, I really saw how pitiful the situation was when he was coming over and she would be, you know, getting her hair done, and he would, you know, she would hear his motorcycle or his truck, and then she would be like giddy that he's there. And at that point, she hadn't even seen him or whatever. And it's like, this is still the guy that's treated you so bad. And her reaction when she saw him at the truck show was just, it's so powerful for her, you know, to where she's just hopeless.
Like she sees him at the sight of him. She has to, like, compose herself because she's crying.
Yeah, she's hopelessly, surrendering her feelings and emotions to this guy. And it's just self-destructive.
I'm only laughing because Phil is like, are you going to dance tonight? Because I sang in yesterday's after show and I don't want to sing again. But it's like, when you sing that, it's like she's like, hopelessly devoted to you. She's like so Grease, like the beauty school dropout, and she's hopelessly devoted to him. Yeah. Anyways, except John Travolta is way, 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 way better than Adam.
Well, yeah, he's been married for a long time, so he stuck with his girl.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to talk about Kaylin in this light that I have to talk about her in, because, like, she started off the season so strong, and I loved her so much. I was like, she is so mature.
Yes.
She's the best out of all the
girls. She's the best.
She has a great head on her shoulders.
Yes.
Like, I so respect her.
Yeah.
And then slowly, little by little, I was like, ooh, No. And this episode, I lost a lot of respect for her. But then I ended up just feeling bad for her. But I lost a lot of respect for her because she cheated with Joe, which, first of all, I wasn't sure what exactly happened because she tells her friend she's like...
Right.
It went too far.
It went
all I'm going to say is it went too far.
Right, right.
So I wrote thoughts. Did they sleep together? And I thought this was going to be a special segment we discuss. Uh-huh. And then like 2 minutes later, Joe comes out with it. He's like, oh, yeah, we had sex in the shower.
Yep.
Hey, guys, I think you got a phone call. It may even be your co-host. So let's grab this call right quick and see who is wanting to talk with the Teen Mom crew.
Caller, is this Isabel?
No, it's Patty.
Patty.
Right, Patty.
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Yeah, Patty who tweets me the great tweets that I share. Well, I'm glad that I got you on the line. Okay, Patty, we're talking about Kaylin. We're talking about Joe and Jordan and the messy, messy love triangle. I want to get your thoughts first, and then we'll get into ours. What do you think about Kaylin cheating with Joe?
So messy. I'm not surprised because I'm not a fan of her. And I think that she's always sneaky, so I wasn't really surprised she did that. And I think she got what she deserved. She had the conversation with Joe after the damage was done. She should have had that conversation before. So, what can you do?
I don't think she's always sneaky, though. I don't like her here because the problem was she did it with Joe, and then... when she told Jordan, that's when I saw a side of her I really despised.
Which was?
She was selfish. She just tells him that she slept with her ex-boyfriend, and she doesn't even say, like, hey, I'm sorry. I just cheated on you. All she says is, well, put yourself in my shoes.
Yeah,
like, put yourself in my shoes. It's like, how selfish are you? You just cheated, and you just really hurt this guy, and you're trying to tell him, well, you got to see it from my side. Like, this is the father of my child. No, he doesn't have to see it from your side. You just really, really hurt him. And he says, at least look like you care.
Right.
And I'm like, Jordan, you're right. Yeah, she doesn't even look like she cares. Like, she doesn't even apologize. So, Patty, I want to get your opinion after Ed.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think of Kaylin here? I mean, no one can defend her here.
Well, to me, what she is she is a realist, okay? And she looks at things... I do think she's mature. I think she's done a lot of good things. But she admitted to her friend. I mean, she never, like, denies what she does. She takes responsibility for it in a sense, meaning she said, I went back to my old ways. You know, I gave in to how I felt. I mean, she knows that it's not the best decision to do, but she knows that she chose to go with her feelings. So that's where I sort of respect her. But I think that what this shows is that the thing she had with Jordan was never really a big deal to her.
Yeah.
It was never really a big deal. He was just there.
It couldn't have been if she showed him that little respect when he ended it, or when she ended it.
Yep, not at all. I don't think she actually cares that he's gone. I think she's parts of her are a nice person, and so she's not happy that he got hurt, but that's... You know, I don't think she really cares about
Jordan. She didn't
even
seem that unhappy that he got hurt, which is so shocking to me because we loved Jordan all season long. We were talking about how great he was.
Yeah.
And so I was really shocked the way it went down and how callous she was towards him.
Yeah.
But, Patty, I want to get your opinion because clearly it sounds like you were never a Kaylin fan, whereas I was always a Kaylin fan, and that's why I'm shocked that she did this. I want to get your opinion on Joe. And would you have liked to have seen them get back together? Because... I've never really been a Joe fan. I'm always on the fence with him, but last night really pissed me off because she says like, oh, well, can we get back together now? Like, is that what that means? And she's so excited. She's so Chelsea-like.
Right.
And then he's like, I'm not trying to settle down. I was over it a long time ago. I'm not trying to commit to any woman right now. And I write in my notes, and I'm just living my life. Sorry, I got to give him that attitude because that's how it came off to me. And then I write in my notes, any woman. You're not trying to commit to any woman. This is the mother of your child. I wrote, you are a douchebag. And I will say douchebag on AfterBuzz TV because that was so douchey. Like, I'm not trying to commit to anyone. After she just, like, cheated on her boyfriend, she's all alone, and now you don't want to commit?
Man, you really... didn't like what he had to say, huh?
No.
So, okay, Patty. Yeah, Patty.
Patty, what did you think of Joe here?
I think he was okay. I am a Joe fan. So I think it was Kaylin that was in the wrong.
I hope you're the only person
I really like Jordan, too. And I think that both Jordan and Corey, I can't believe how well they handled their girlfriend and their wife. totally cheating on them. They were both, so Jordan was really mature, I thought, just saying, just like, that's it. He didn't yell at her. He wasn't terribly mean. He just said, this is because of your decision. Goodbye.
Exactly. But, yes. Yeah, he wasn't overly mean. He came through, he said really good stuff, Jordan did. But Mari, I'm with Patty. Like, okay, here's the thing. I fault Joe for getting involved with doing something with Caitlin and knowing that she has a man. Okay, he shouldn't have done that. I think he shouldn't have done that. But the way he handled himself in front of her after when she says, "I want to get back together with you," no, he did. He played it very cool and he did it very properly. And even when he was with his brother talking, he was just very honest. He's like, "You know what? I don't know." He goes, I don't know that I want to give up this good place that we've gotten to. I don't know if I get back together with her, if it's going to be the same like it was before. He says, so I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes.
But saying that is a million times better than what he said to her. I'd be totally fine if she said, oh, I want to get back together now. And he says, I don't know if it's healthy for us, for Isaac. That's all right. I don't like that he's like, I don't want to commit right now to anyone. Like, I just really, that rubbed me the wrong way.
What do you mean? That's like, that's player 101. That's the first
thing.
That's
why I don't like him. Right, he's a player.
That's a velvet hammer for you right there. He just said, look, he basically said, hey, it's not about you. It's about where I'm at. It has nothing to do with you.
That's so douchey.
Listen, you are great. And if I was going to be with somebody and have a family, it would be with you, girl. But you know what? Right now, I'm just not trying to do that.
Like, even your Joe impression pisses me off. But wait, Patty, I have a question for you.
Since you
like Joe so much, would you go out and get his CD when he gets his music career going?
Oh, my God. Not that much. But I do. I think it's better. What he did was better than leading her on.
Yes.
And I think
Caitlin needs a nice, good book on how to break up with somebody, because she did the same thing when she didn't want to be with Joe and they were off and on, and then she got Jordan and then she was over it with Jordan and she had to cheat on him. She just needs to learn how to say to a guy, it's over. I don't have feelings for you anymore. Instead of making them always be the one that leaves.
Patty, I'm very impressed with you right now, because most people, when I have an argument in my head and when I feel a certain way about someone, it's very hard for them to change my feelings. And Ed, you never change my feelings. You only like empower me even more to feel the way I feel.
But
what you just said,
bit?
No. I still don't like Joe, but she's right. It's better to tell her up front, I don't want to be with you, than to lead her on like Adam. Because what Adam is doing to Chelsea is so much worse. Like, just say, I don't want to be with you. So, Patty, you are right there. It is better not to lead her on. But now it sucks for her. She's
all
alone.
Better to say that before you sleep with her.
Yeah.
I mean, he shouldn't have slept with a girl who has a boyfriend anyway. I mean, I don't think he should have done that, but he did. And
I think it was just hard for me because Caitlin, to me, I always thought she had a good head on her shoulders and she's very mature. And to me, Chelsea is the most immature. And she was so Chelsea-like in this, like getting her hopes up and all excited about like getting back together with the baby daddy. I saw a lot of Chelsea in her this episode.
Yeah. For those moments that she gave in and, you know, she did. But the part of Chelsea that's not there is Caitlin is not going to continue to pursue Joe. He said no. She's going to be
gonna
sad.
She's going to move on.
She's moving on.
I hope so. Yeah.
She's not going to try to, you know.
And Patty, you mentioned Corey, and I want to get into Leah and Corey. But I just, now that we're talking about Chelsea, where do you stand? Because Ed, you're like, you don't hate Chelsea, but you don't love her. You're on the fence. You know, I hate Chelsea.
Right.
Patty, what do you think of Chelsea?
I think Chelsea is boring, but I love her parents. Like, I would watch a show about her dad and her mom because they are so funny. They always have like witty comments to her. I think that they make her whole segment of the show better. They're the smartest people on that show. They're so nice to her. They're the opposite of the other parents, like Janelle's mom. So Chelsea bores me, and I could do without her, but I love her parents.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see. Yeah, boring is the one word. Like, her storyline is so consistent in a bad way every episode.
But I look at it and I watch it in amazement. So, and for me, it's not boring because I'm amazed that she continues to do this thing with this Adam guy. I'm just so like in awe of it. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to do it again. She's going to do it again. She's going to say, I love him and I want to be with him.
Are you surprised?
Well,
like, do you come into every episode thinking, okay, this is going to be the episode where Chelsea is going to get over Adam? Like, are you surprised?
No, it's not surprised. It is awe. I am in awe. awe of it, going, oh my gosh, she's going to do it. So it's not a surprise, but it is entertaining to me to watch her just do the things that she does, even though he is telling her in every way, dude, move on. I'll be your friend. We got to raise a kid, but that's it. You know, and he his little signals that he sends that are conflicting, she makes those be the, you know, the communication she hears. So,
yeah. So I want to get into Leah and Corey, and I want to get both your opinions on this, only because normally with a divorce or a fight like this or season long with Leah and Corey, I've taken one side or the other, and I've mostly taken Leah's side, except for when the cheating came out. But I don't know. In last night's episode, it wasn't like, oh, Leah's in the wrong, or oh, Corey's in the wrong. It was just an overall sad situation to me, just sad on both ends. Her moving out, him being left alone, them having to go through the lawyers just to set up, like, the kids, taking off their rings, the whole thing. But, like, I didn't feel like there was onus on one or the other. I feel like they... I don't blame Leah for... I don't want to say I don't blame her for cheating, but I don't hate her for cheating. And I don't hate her for, and I don't blame her for filing for divorce. I think she cheated, and her friend even said this. She cheated because, like, she, like, there were long-stemming issues before. Like, I don't really care that she cheated so much.
That she, that was her, one of her ways of trying to sabotage things, right?
But, or that was one of her ways. Like, obviously the marriage wasn't working for so many different reasons. I think they were forcing it because of the kids, and she cheated. Patty, I have a feeling, just the way you were talking before, like, do you really fault Leah for cheating? Like, do you feel bad? I mean, I feel bad for Corey, but, like, is there one person you dislike in this situation more than the other?
It's tricky. I really felt bad for Corey. Like, how can you? He's totally on his own, but it's, they definitely portrayed it in a way that you also feel sympathy for Leah. Like, it's obviously not easy for her. It's not like she's sitting back laughing at him. Like, you did feel bad for both of them, but, oh, Corey, I just wanted to give him a big hug the whole show.
But do you guys forget that just a couple episodes ago, like, he was so adamant on the fact that he didn't want to move into the trailer and wasn't trying to work with her at all or listen to her at all? Like,
yeah, but that's, I mean... That's small potatoes, man. I mean, that's small stuff. And, you know, they were making big decisions and they just were disagreeing on stuff. And he happened to, you know, decide to be stubborn on those things. But that doesn't make him a person of questionable character.
No.
What she did makes her a person of questionable character, in my opinion.
I don't know why I'm giving her a free pass on this. Like, yeah, I kind of am though. I understand why it happened.
No, I don't give her any free passes. I think that she's she doesn't want to be seen as a person of poor character, but I think she is that, and I think that she, the whole time, why was she able to file for divorce and do it and say, yep, go ahead? Because she doesn't want to be married to Corey. She hasn't for a long time. She wants family, and she has, I think, in her mind and in her, she's been socialized to think that, okay, this is how I things are supposed to be. What she's sad about when she takes off her ring is not that Corey is going away, but that her family, her unit, the nuclear family is going away, and that she's going to have to be the statistic like everybody else that's divorced and all that. So to me, she likes Corey. She wished things could have worked. She wished she could have, you know, had more chemistry with him and that he met her needs, but he didn't. And so I think that she, across the board, has been just slowly trying to sabotage it, subconsciously trying to sabotage the whole relationship and the marriage.
I don't blame her I don't think she was trying to sabotage it. I don't think they should have ever gotten married in the first place. I think they were forcing it because of the kids.
Yep.
Like, I mean, you can't forget that she got pregnant pretty fast into their relationship, too. So,
yeah,
like,
what was it, 3 weeks or 3 months or something?
So, or I know that they were, like, celebrating their year anniversary after the kids were already born.
Wow.
I know that.
Okay.
So, it's like with Kaylin, I lost a lot of respect for her in this episode in a very similar circumstance where she cheated.
Yeah.
And because I normally respected Kaylin, I didn't lose that respect for Leah here. If anything, I had more respect for her in this episode because she's going through such a tough thing. And I know Corey is too. But like, God, between the medical issues and having to deal with the lawyers and the moving out, I just felt so bad for her. And I have respect for the way she, like, handled herself here. But, Patty, what do you...
I think that even though the situation with the truck was an episode before Corey confronted Leah about cheating, I think he may have already known. Like, he may have heard the rumors and didn't want to believe it, and maybe that's why he was kind of pushing her buttons about the truck thing. And only later, what we saw is another episode, did he actually say, is this true? So I'm not convinced that he was being honest about the truck. Like, I think he might have been trying to kind of get some digs at her because he had heard these rumors.
Right.
And the second thing that I think is complicated about the situation is that I feel like Corey, because he was always working, I feel bad because I'm not sure he would even know how to take care of those kids. So as much as he wants to be with them, and I feel like, yeah, he should have them for the weekends or he should have them half the time, he doesn't, like, I don't think he's prepared to take care of them on his own. And that almost makes it sadder for why I feel more sad for him, because he's losing his wife and he's losing his kids and he didn't do anything.
But he has his parents. I think his parents are going to be pretty heavily involved.
Well, yeah, and he can walk to his mom's house. It's right across the field or whatever. That's where he went to go get the kids. He walked to get them when it was time to pick them up. But I thought it was also interesting how he found out that she filed for divorce, right? He's reading the paper, and he sees it was filed. You know, it's public notice.
I know. I was shocked by that, because I thought, like, did she never let him know?
Well, you have to serve the person, right? But the serving, when you have someone served with documents that say you're suing them for a divorce or whatever, the only significance there is you have to serve them a certain number of days before the court date. So they could have, filed it, and then the notification, the paper came out before he got served. So, but again, for her not to tell him is and then the lawyer, she said the lawyers did say, hey, don't talk to him or whatever, so she had that to hide behind. But still, that's not somebody who is at all trying to work it out. See, we see her crying. This is why I did lose respect for her. We see her doing all these outward shows of sadness and everything, and it's true, I think she does feel sad, but it's not the sadness that we think. It's not the sadness, like, because, she wants to keep Corey. Because guess what? If she wanted to, I'll bet you she could do something. Now, maybe...
But that's why she filed for divorce. She knows she doesn't want to be with Corey. She knows it's not right. She's sad because now she's sad for her children's sake, and that's fine, and that's respectable. She's sad that for her children, they have to be in a broken home for the rest of their lives.
No, remember, she said, she goes, all this stuff that's happened, it happened, but it doesn't change who Corey is to me and how special he is and all this stuff. So she is communicating with her words to her friends and everybody, like, I don't want to lose my husband. But what I'm saying is I don't believe it at all, and which is why I say she's a hypocrite. I lost respect for her for all of her decisions. However, also a very difficult situation with everything. That's the part where, like Patty's saying, they set it up so that, and maybe it's not set it up, but just the reality of it, we do feel empathy and sympathy for her because she's got the medical issue. She's, struggling with money, all the stuff she has to go through. You can't take away the fact that that is really tough. That's hard.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, we're going to go shortly to a quick commercial break and then some news and gossip. But before we go, I wanted to keep Patty on the phone just to get your opinions on Janelle, because we didn't get to hear your opinions on Janelle. What did you think of her and the rehab stay?
Oh, man. I thought she did okay, and she obviously looks a lot better and is sounding a lot smarter and all those kind of things in rehab. Her mom is a huge disappointment. When they called her, when her and I guess her, like, doctor, psychiatrist, or whoever that was, called the mom, and the mom is just giving it to Janelle. Like, just be nice for 5 seconds, Barbara.
Okay, I want to ask you where you stand on this, because sometimes people don't agree with me when I say this. Do you think that Barbara kind of looks at Jace as, like, her second chance at motherhood and at getting it right, and that, like, even, like, she, I think she likes to say to Janelle and make Janelle feel bad that she has to take care of Jace, but I think she likes that she takes care of Jace.
I think it might be something like that. We know, like this episode, we found out about her Janelle's brother. We've seen in last season, I think Janelle has an older sister. So obviously, all of Barbara's children are leaving her. So maybe there's a bit of Barbara wanting to cling on to something, and Jace is her new something to cling on to because all her children can't stand her, and rightfully so. So she's just probably going to cling on to Jace until he can't stand her.
Wow, someone else who really doesn't like Barbara.
Yeah,
good.
She really doesn't like Barbara, yes.
All right, and then any final thoughts on the finale episode, and then Ronnie will have you take us into a commercial break when she's done.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it me? Why does, in Corey's house, why do they always go to the porch to talk on the phone? Why are they're like, always go to the porch. They have a cordless phone, and they go out on the porch to talk on the phone. Like, does the phone not work inside? I don't know. That was something
I saw. That's what you picked up on in the entire divorce saga?
You always see them sitting on the porch. Like they'll be in the house, but then when they get on the phone, they go out to the porch, and they sit on the edge of the porch, and they talk on the phone. I mean, I've seen her do that. I've seen him do that, like, three times.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's better reception.
Yeah, maybe it's
they
better
They are
service.
In the middle of nowhere.
But wait a minute. It wasn't a cell phone. It's a cordless phone for your house. It's a house phone. Anyway, I just saw that. I didn't get it. The other thing is, I thought that when she got a call from her lawyer, and the lawyer said, hey, look, we met with Corey's lawyers and made an agreement, right? His dad is going to be at our office, so bring the kids there, and then you can give them to his dad. Well, when she gets there, Corey's there too.
I know, I saw that.
And I thought, well, wait a minute, why is he there? That's like an unfair surprise because she's so emotional. And why would her lawyer not tell her that Corey was going to be there?
Yeah, no, I picked up on that, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't understand. And then I also looked, Corey had already taken his ring off, and she hadn't taken hers off when they met each other.
We saw that. We saw him take his ring off, and we saw her say she's not ready yet.
Yeah, I saw her. Oh, I didn't remember that he took it off.
Because she said, I don't want to take this ring off because it says Allie and Aaliyah, and I'm going to be married to them for life.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Great. Wonderful. Good job, Mom.
Can I make two quick points?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. One, I'm watching the show with my boyfriend, and the funniest part was when Leah's in the basement, and her stepdad's helping her move, and she goes and gives him a hug, and my boyfriend's like, why is she hugging the mover? Anyway, and then the second point, okay, this was about Chelsea. I found a little bit of what you might call dick in the soup when Chelsea went to the car show and accidentally ran into Adam.
Well,
You think that they told Adam to be there?
I think they told Chelsea to. Why would she go hang out at the car
because
show?
Because her mom was going to the car show to meet a guy.
To pick up guys.
Pick up guys.
But no, wait a minute.
I think it's a little bit sketchy.
Well, no, and her and her mom talked about it beforehand, and she said, do you think Adam's going to be there? And then Chelsea says, of course he's going to be there. It's a car show.
Yeah.
So it's a small town car show. He's a car guy. He's there. She expected him to be there. But it looked like it was pretty big, so maybe she was, you know what? I mean, Patty, you're right. She went there to see Adam for sure, 100%. She was hoping to see him, and she did, but she didn't like how it felt when she did.
Yeah. No.
And right in time for the finale and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, thanks for pointing that out. And Patty, thank you for calling into our finale show. You should call in again next week for the reunion special.
All right, I'll try.
All right, thanks so much, Patty. And Ronnie, if you could take us to a quick commercial break.
After Buzz TV.
Hi. I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about? AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, just like Chelsea, the news and gossip for Chelsea is always kind of boring. Basically, she had tweeted in the past that she would be single forever, and then Leah gave her some love advice, and now she tweeted, "I'm quite attracted to older men. Not old, but older men. Hashtag sexy and mature."
Ah, interesting.
So, I don't know. I guess single forever.
Guess that means she's not with Adam.
Yeah, and then I thought this was interesting. So Kaylin in the after show discussed the whole Jordan thing, and she still tried to defend her actions. She says, "I thought he would maybe try to put himself in my shoes a little more." Again, are you pulling that again? And then she says, "I'm not trying to justify what I did at all, but I just was kind of like, all the expression went away on his face. He just sat there like, okay. He was mad, but it was like he didn't understand. We both kind of saw it coming in the back of our minds. He had a gut feeling that something was going to happen. In my stomach and my heart and my mind, if I was truly in love with him, I would have done what I did. I wouldn't have done what I did either. I think that I should definitely have come to terms with it and broken up with him before it happened."
Yeah,
which is what you said.
That's where Kaylin, I'm like, okay, she may not do all the right stuff, but she knows, she's aware of what she's doing, and she takes responsibility. I mean, that self-awareness is huge. You don't want to, you know, be a person of bad character for your whole life and just know it, but you want to change. But, you know, I give her credit for that. I give her credit.
But you called it. I mean, when anyone cheats, there has to be a reason why they're cheating. There has to be some, like, it's usually the person should have broken up with them before they cheated. Leah probably should have filed for divorce before she cheated. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, not gotten married if she slept with the guy last week.
But I'm saying there were already issues stemming in these relationships before they went and cheated. More court and legal drama for Janelle. Her attorney says that Janelle is extremely uneasy about her former boss, James Duffy. I guess she was his assistant, and she charged him with cyberstalking and communicating threats, and she's waiting for a court date on this case, but she's on edge about what he might do. Her attorney says she's most concerned about her charges. She's feeling extremely uneasy with him. She's uncomfortable about the whole situation. Apparently, she quit when he made sexual advances towards her.
Wow. Gosh, she just needs to stay away from
courts. Like, charging people so much. I mean, if this is legitimate, yes.
Yeah,
of course. Like, I feel like she just walked into court, or like, you know, early in the season, she like walked in and charged Kiefer, and then she felt bad for charging him and tried to get him out of jail. Like, I don't think they think about these things. I don't know. And then finally, this is good for Leah. So I guess after Leah suffered from the miscarriage, she signed off Twitter, signed off Facebook, like needed space. She's back on. She just tweeted yesterday, "Hey y'all, I'm back. Needed a small break. Happy V-Day. Can't believe it's the season finale. Who's ready? How is everyone? Thanks everyone for the support during the season and before. Means a lot. Break was def needed, but so happy to be back."
Oh, okay. That sounds very normal.
Yeah. And I don't think I ever got to talk about the miscarriage with you guys because I wasn't here last week. Right. While I feel so bad and no one should ever have to go through that, I think that it probably is a good thing that she's not having another child with another man.
Right. It's a tough thing.
Like, I don't want to say anything like that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a time and a place for everything, right? And so maybe there'd be a better time for her than right now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's it for our news and gossip. We don't really have predictions. We can talk about the finale special coming up and what we expect.
Right.
I guess you can play the predictions music because we like it so much.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I mean, I think the finale special is still going to bother me because the finale special was also shot months ago, so it still hasn't caught up to the current time. Because even when they're talking, Janelle is talking about, oh, she failed her drug test and she's facing jail time. Well, she's facing jail time again because of communicating threats with the ex-roommate and then contact and then violating the restraining order, whatever. So I think it's still going to be annoying to, like, be the reunion special, but not in, like, the right
time.
Not
current, right. And then we also saw that Corey and Leah were sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
And, you know,
him, on separate ends of the couch.
Right. And then him being asked, do you think you can forgive her? And him saying no. And she's, you know, breaks down, cries, you know, as if she wants to be with him there. When obviously that's not the case now because she's got her new man.
Yeah.
So
that's the only thing I think would be interesting is if they do talk about their new girlfriend and boyfriend. I do want to hear that. Like, I want to hear her talk about Jeremy, and I want to hear him talk about.
Well, but I'm thinking that whenever the reunion special was done, that they must not have been, or, you know, at least she must not have been with him, with her new guy, because she was still upset that he won't forgive her. I don't think it was just her being upset at the idea that he won't forgive her. I think she was like, she's still trying to convince herself that I want to be back together, you know?
I don't think so. I think I don't think that that's why she was crying at that. I think she's just crying because she feels bad with how things ended. I don't think that she wants to get back together with him at all. Chelsea and Adam, yes. We find out that they each hooked up with each other's friends.
Oh my God. Oh, I mean, when and how? I want to hear the information on that. I want to hear the details on that. Because if she did, I want to know, were you drunk? Were you, what was your excuse, Chelsea? Because she has had me convinced that she ain't doing nothing with nobody except him. She's waiting for him to come around.
Yeah.
You know, so if she's going to get with some other dude, that's a shock to me.
Yeah. Wait, and then I have a question. So with Kaylin and Jordan and Joe are all going to be there. So the love triangle, this so reminds me of Macy and... Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Whoa. Of Macy and Kyle and... oh my God, whatever Macy's guy's name is. But who walked up out of the couch? Was it Jordan walks out?
No, I don't...
Or was it Kaylin walked out? Someone walks out.
Kaylin was sitting in the middle because Jordan leaned away and he said, look, I can just leave and then let them handle something or let them discuss, I don't know, said something
like
that.
So I think Jordan walks out.
No. Jordan was sitting there and Kaylin was in the middle and she got up and she started to walk out. So
someone walks out. We'll have to see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to our finale after show. But stay tuned, the finale special after show. That'll be our final one. Yeah, thank you, Patty. And anyone else, call in next week.
Thanks, Maury.
Thanks, Ed.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.